Well, good morning. If you'd like to follow along with me, I will be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Help us to be in unity as a body in our faith and not carried away by every wind of doctrine. And just help us to be fitted together, growing together, building each other up in love. And just thank you for the message from this passage through Pastor Don. Just give him the wisdom and understanding that only comes from you. We give you all the honor and glory as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in your bulletin, you have a maturity, spiritual maturity report card. So it's going to be a little thing that we can do together today. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. If it is a private matter. And so if you'd like to just do it later, but I think you'll find it helpful if you do it with us as we go through this together. And it's just something, you know, we're told to examine ourselves. We just did that, didn't we, when we started to take communion here today. We examined ourselves. So this is just a way, maybe a fun way or an easy way that we could look as we're going through this portion of Ephesians 4, that we can take a step back and just kind of look at our spiritual maturity, because that's what we will be talking about today. When children are born, they're incapable of many things. They don't know much. That's because they're not mature. They haven't grown much. They act like infants, well, because they are infants. And it's the way they're expected to act. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Jesus tells Nicodemus that unless a person is born again through the Spirit, they cannot see or be in or be a part of the kingdom of God. So those who are new Christians are born again as infant Christians. And they act like infant Christians, well, again, because they are infant Christians. That's what's expected of them. But today in our text, we see that Paul is telling us that we are required to grow up spiritually. That's not an option. And to be mature, it's not an option to stay a baby in Christ. It's not an option to be spiritually immature. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, well, look, I'm just going to read it. You know, there was some immaturity in the church in Corinth. And Paul says this to them in verse 1 of chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." You see, the Corinthian church were acting like a bunch of babies. They were being immature. They got drunk at what we just did. They got drunk at communion. They were competing as to which had the better spiritual gifts. God had gifted them. Oh, mine's better than yours. Very childish. They did not stand up against evil in the church, but allowed sexually immoral people to continue in sin without telling them that they were wrong. And they were suing each other in court. What a crazy mixed up church. And you think we got crazy mixed up people. Crazy mixed up church. And Paul says, because you're babies, you're infants. You don't. I can't tell you anything. And Paul shows us that these infants in Christ, they can't understand deep spiritual things. In fact, not only can they not understand spiritual things, but they have to be dealt with as unbelievers. You see that? I can't speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh. So they have to be handled like people who don't know anything about God. Paul wants to teach them high school or even college level spirituality. But he's still preaching to them in preschool. He's teaching them preschool level because they can't grow. They can't understand it. So we need to look at our spiritual report card. That's the purpose of today's sermon, to look at how we're doing, to see what spiritual grade level we're in and how well we're doing within that grade level. And if you look at the bottom down there, now, I don't want you to fill in your grade level yet, but to understand what I've done there, at the bottom you'll see preschool, you'll see elementary, high school, and college level. So look at that and ask yourself, am I in preschool? You know, if you're a new Christian, that's obvious, you will be there. But maybe you haven't grown much since you've been saved. Maybe you, like the Corinthians, are still needing preschool stuff. I hope that's not the case of anyone today, but we need to look at ourselves in that. And then it moves right up to college, the high comprehension of spiritual things. And we often spend resources, and I don't mean money. It could be books and things that we buy to dig deeper into the Word, but it could also mean your time. How much time, how many of your resources that you have, you can understand a lot, and just like going to college, you have to spend some resources to do it. It's not free education anymore, is it? You have to pay for it. So let's look at Ephesians 4:13, and we're going to be going line through line. Until we all attain to the unity of the flesh and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So let's look at that report card. And like I said, it's a private matter. So if you're looking on to your neighbor's report card, you'll have to come up here. If I catch you, you'll have to come up here and sit next to me the whole service. No, I'm kidding. But don't feel if it is private and you don't feel like you want to fill it out right now, I understand. But I think it would help you to do that. Because as we go through this, you can say, look at these line items as we go through. Paul has told us here the way we graduate. We looked at it right here. What is the level on which we graduate? Where are we supposed to be to graduate? When we go to school, any school, there is a certain place you say you have to accomplish these things and then you get to graduate. What does Paul say? Let's look at it. The description for graduation into maturity. These things are, number one, to come to the full knowledge of the Son of God. The full knowledge. Number one, it's complete unity of faith with believers. All believers will have perfect theology. No division of denomination. No division of different interpretation of Scripture. No division over the type of worship. Everyone is on the same page with their faith. Never doubting God, but having complete trust in Him. That's the knowledge of the Son of God. That's where we need to be. That's a high, high calling, isn't it? To be able to reach that in maturity. And number two is having the Son of God's knowledge, or the knowledge we have is in complete agreement with Christ. That our thoughts are the same things that Christ thinks. That our actions are the same way that Christ behaves. So we have faith and we have knowledge. And that's what it is to be mature. When we achieve those things, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. I don't see us. That is the highest point to reach in spiritual maturity. And Paul likens our maturity to height. Notice, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. When we reach that is the height of Christ. The Greek word for stature means age or size. And so just as a small child is shorter in stature to a grown-up, so is our spiritual maturity with Christ's height. So we have Christ somewhere up here, and if we're infants, we're way down here, and you know, somewhere in between. We will never achieve this, even when we reach eternity. That's when we get our recess, by the way. We get our recess in return. We don't have it now. We don't have time to take recess. We'll have our recess or rest in Him then. But for eternity, we'll always be learning more and more about Him. And we'll always be looking to mature in Him. Paul tells us that this is our goal. Did any of us have marks on the door when we were growing up. You had different levels in your family of kids growing up. Maybe you were the only child and you were the only mark on the door. But we had these marks on the door. I remember it. We had marks on the door, on the door frame. And they put the. And what did we do when we had that? What would we do? We'd stand up straight. We didn't want to slump, did we? We didn't slump because we wanted it to be measured correctly. In fact, some of us would even make sure we stood on our tippy toes because we want. Why would we do that? Why would we want to be taller? Because we desired to be more mature. We wanted to be more mature. And that's the way we should be with our spiritual life and our spiritual education, is that we want to be more mature to Christ and grow. Why would we want to be more mature? Well, there's privileges that comes with more maturity. With age. I remember I wanted to be 12 because then I wasn't a little kid anymore. I wanted to be 12. And then I wanted to be 16 so I could drive. And then I wanted to be 18 so I could go to war. No. I wanted to be 18 so that I could probably drink at the time, is what I was thinking. And then I wanted to be 21. And then I wanted to be 21. See, the thing about it is that we know that there's privileges. There's privileges to being older and more mature. And it's the same way with our spiritual life. There are privileges. So look at the blank report card. And we need to grade ourselves on this to be more mature. So how are we doing? We're going to go through line one. And at 2 weeks, we've been looking at the standards to which we have been called to. These are our standards. And we're still talking about our standards. Maturity is one of the standards that Paul is emphasizing, that we, as those that are going to be in God's kingdom, that are in God's kingdom, need to have maturity. Are we abiding by these standards? It will be the focal point in how we'll be grading ourselves. That's what we'll be looking at. Firstly, we saw that we are to be living or walking or living our life as Paul called, in unity. We need to be in unity. And we learned those standards by which we walk are seen in our humility. They're seen in our gentleness. They're seen in our patience and our tolerance or our forbearing or our suffering with others. So let's look at each one of these line items. These four line items, they are how well you play with others. Remember that line on our report card? How well did you play with others? Maybe we scored weak back then. We got an opportunity now to score well. Line one, humility, means we do not boast of our accomplishments when we do well. We don't boast. And we accept accountability for our actions when we do wrong. That's what mature people do. That's what people with humility do. We see others as the same value as ourselves. We treat others how we want to be treated because we're humble. We don't think better of ourselves than others. Line two. So you'll see at the top there, there's the score, 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 10. It's just the way I kind of put something together to kind of grade yourself. So as you go through, use those numbers. And line two, gentleness, quiet spirit, even-tempered, to moderate one's passions, to lessen or keep in measure the intensity of harshness of one's emotions, especially anger. We do not raise our voice in anger and hurt others with our words, or let our passions, those things that really we really hold on to, we really are excited about, offend other people. We don't offend. We're gentle and we're kind. Line three, patience is our ability to take a great deal of punishment from evil people or circumstances without losing one's temper, without becoming irritated and angry, or without taking vengeance. That's patience. How well are we doing in that? Grade yourself. And line four, intolerance. You see, tolerance, as we talked about, is not accepting a compromise to God's word. We don't tolerate people who don't believe what we believe and try to preach a different gospel, or try to preach something different than what. That's not tolerance. But it means to forbear or suffer with others in their time of need. We need to be tolerant with them, which many times people don't know that they're suffering. They think they're doing just fine. But there's penalties that the Lord has told us that He can't bless us if we're not living the right way of life. And sometimes we need to come around our brother and our sister and tell them, look, I've noticed something. This is what the Bible says. This is what we need to focus on. And then you know what they'll do? They'll suffer. Because the Christian's response is, I didn't know I was doing that. Oh, I feel so bad I was doing that. And so we suffer with them. And we help them through that time. That's what tolerance is. So grade yourself on that. Ephesians 4:14. Continuing, this is where our line 5 comes in. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful schemings. So what is this? How does this do with... This is fanciful revelations. These are things that, oh, wow, that's something new I've never seen before. That's really cool. I want to learn that. I want to do that. And it doesn't line up with Scripture. It's just something new. Somebody is put out there. And they want people to come along, usually for money, or for power, or for whatever else. But it's not for growing them in the Lord. It is a really cool new revelation. You need to believe in the Bible as well. You need to trust the Bible. How much do you trust the Word? Paul says the higher we grade on looking more like Christ, then the more mature we are. The higher we have here, it says right here, as a result, what did we just read about? All those things that look like Christ, maturity in Christ. So as a result, as we mature, we're going to be no longer children, and we're not going to be tossed here and there. A mature Christian is not tossed. Now and over the course of history, there have been many false teachers and prophets. There have been many of people who claim to speak for God. I have firsthand knowledge of this. I grew up with a mother who went to a cult, a church, that promised something new and different. Eileen as well. This is why where we met. We met as kids growing up in this cult. She was blown around by a new wind of doctrine. My mom was a Methodist, and my older brothers and sisters had the opportunity to go to children's church or Sunday school at the time, to learn about God in a Methodist church. Eileen's dad was a Baptist, and he would go door to door and ask people if they've received Christ and spread the gospel. But they were blown. They were blown off course. They were tempted by all these things that were not true teaching. You see, any teacher who tells you they are a prophet with prophetic words has a new understanding. You need to be wary of that. You need to be wary of people. These people say God Himself told them something. It's generally how they do it. They have these revelations that come directly from God so that they can give you the idea that this is true. I have got authority to say this. And when I've heard this, I would say 100% of the time, they do not line up with common orthodox belief of Scripture. They twist something. They had mixed truth with falsehood. In Mylene's, in my case, it was a man proclaiming that he was apostle in the end days. And the time was ripe. We'd just come through World War II. We were in the 1960s, and there was a lot of upheaval going, and people are saying, this is going to be the end. And they were looking for somebody, and he said, I'm the guy. I'm the apostle, the guy you've been waiting for. He said that he was John the Baptist, proclaiming truth in the wilderness. And he was wrong. And today we have all kinds of teachers claiming any number of things. And many Christians are gravitating to these people with their reading materials, what they watch on television and their evangelism programs. They may be even attending their church. It is nothing new to have false preachers and false prophets. But we are living in the end days. We're living in the end times. And the Bible tells us that in the end times, in the days towards the coming of the return of Christ, people will want to hear things that tickle their ears. That means they want to be entertained about new revelations from God. They want to hear fun things, good things. Don't tell me the hard things. They want to accumulate knowledge that makes them feel unique and special, better than everybody else. They don't stick to the old tried and true teachings of the Word, but they need to have new interpretations of the Word. Mixing the truth of God with fallen human understanding. That's what they do. Right now, and we're going through a teen study in the parsonage, and I'm teaching the kids critical thinking. We just went through UFOs and ETs and how that lines up with Scripture. Can we believe that stuff? Because when you're surrounded by it in your culture. You need to critically think. See what the Bible says. Can there be ETs and extraterrestrials? And right now we're going through 6 days of creation. The Bible said, and there was morning, and there is evening, and it was the first day. And a lot of people are trying to say there's a gap in between one and two. That's the gap theory. Or they say the Big Bang. How about the Big Bang? The Bible says the earth was created first, and then the moon and stars were created. But the Big Bang says they all got kind of blown out there, and they're all there, and the stars were first, and the earth was kind of this molten mass, and it kind of cooled over time. That goes directly against the Word of God. And so we have to understand that our culture is fooling us, Christians. And there are people, many, many churches, that mix truth with falsehood. See, it makes them and the church and their church more acceptable to the world, to appear more academic. To the world's standards, not to God's standards. I said to the teens, what makes me think that I know more than a Harvard professor? Because we've got Harvard professors teaching the Big Bang. So what makes me so much smarter than him? Well, I answered them with the fact that I read my Bible and that I believe what my Bible says. Listen to Psalm 119, 97 through 99. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You could be smarter than a college Harvard professor if you read your Word and you love the Word. So how much do you love the Word? We need to love what the Word of God says and that what it testifies to is true. And the Bible is where we go for a revelation of God without adding opinions or teachings of men. Let the Bible be what teaches the people in the world and how you judge what they say. Don't judge the Bible on what people say or what man says or their beliefs. Let the Bible speak for itself. Line 6. We're all children of God. And it's hard to get a child to focus on using their time wisely, is it not? It's very hard, especially in our day-to-day. We have a lot of things that take us our minds off of what we should be doing. And we don't use our time as wisely. And immature children, they don't use their time wisely because they want a lot of play time. They want a lot of me time. They want a time that they're not really doing any serious thing. They just want to. And it's okay to relax. We all need those times. But are we using all of our time free as playtime? Or just enjoying what the Lord has blessed us with and not in the Word of God? They do not realize, children don't realize, the importance of doing something that's not easy or fun to do. So we can be spiritually mature if we're not recognizing, hey, you know what? This isn't a lot of fun, but I need to do it. So when we get to chapter 5 in Ephesians, we're going to be seeing what Paul says about this subject. But I'll just read it, 5, 15 through 16. Paul says, therefore, be careful how you walk or live your life. Be careful how you live your life, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. Are the days evil today? Yes, they're evil. And we need to understand that the times are evil. And there are evil people out there teaching all kinds of ideas, claiming to be God. So let's not play around with false teaching, no matter how fun it seems, how happy it makes us. We have to use our time wisely, and that includes personal prayer time. It includes fasting, Bible study, both personally and corporately. So when you're grading yourself on this line item of, you need to take all these things in consideration. Not only are you doing the things that I just mentioned, but are you listening to popular teachers that you've heard others say, you know what, other people don't like this guy. They're saying, you know, I've heard other Christians say that maybe, or other even pastors say that this guy isn't good to listen to, or this woman isn't good to listen to. But you know what, I like her. I like him. And so I'm going to continue to listen. Well, maybe you need to take a look at what you're, and if there's something you're hearing from others, take a look at it. Make sure that you're spending your time wisely, learning things that are worth learning, and not adding other knowledge in there that is not true. Verse 15, chapter 4 of Ephesians. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So this is our attendance. Attendance. To mature and grow in every way, we must be in an environment of love and truth speaking. That's where we need to have our attendance at. Somewhere that we are getting the environment of love and truth speaking. So we can grow up to the one that is the head of the church, Christ. That's our goal. To His stature. And that is not only accomplished through fellowship. Yes, church doing church together is very important. But if you hang out with the world in your free time, and you have more worldly friends than you have church friends, I think you have a problem. Because you're not surrounding yourself by those that can provide the correct type of love, the brotherly love that we have for each other. You are not having an environment of truth speaking or hearing truth. You're talking about a lot of other things other than the Word of God, and you're not able to mature spiritually because you're spending a lot of your time and you're attending things or spending your time doing other things. If you're spending more time in an environment of worldly values because they are more fun, you're not going to be in an environment of brotherly love. If you find more in common with the world than church, you are stunting your spiritual maturity. Our attendance is important not only for Sunday services, but during the week when we are not working as well, and we all have to work. We all have to work. And sometimes we can have time at work, maybe reaching out to others or just study at our lunchtime or whatever there is. There's times, but at, you know, other than work, what are you doing? Fathers, is your family in an atmosphere of godly leadership in the home? Are you teaching your kids the things of God? And are you doing family times with Bible study and prayer with your family? Are you raising godly offspring as we're told to do? That's what God wants in Malachi. God says, I hate divorce. And then He gives the reason. Because I want godly offspring. That's what He wants from us. So are you maturing in that? Are you mature? Are you being a mature father? A mature spiritual father to raise your kids up? Or train up a child in the ways of God so that when they're old, they will not depart from it, as we're told in Proverbs. But it's not just those with families. If you're married, you have a spouse. Are you spending time together with your spouse? Are you sitting and reading the Word together? Or talking about God together? Eileen has on her iPad, she has a Bible program that she can push a button and it reads to us. And we'll sit in the mornings and we'll listen to that together. And sometimes we'll pause it and we'll say, oh, did you hear that? Or maybe she'll have a question and say, what does that mean? Or we'll just say, wow, that's so cool. Isn't that neat? And we'll have times to talk about the things of God, maturing as we are living our life. If you're single, are you spending time in the classroom with Jesus? Do you have prayer time and study time with Him alone? So when you mark attendance, we're talking attendance is not just in church, but in the classroom of our lives, how we live it out. Being with God, being in attendance. As God is the teacher, we're in the classroom learning from Him. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There you go again. The day. What day is He talking about? The day of Christ's return. Because it's going to get worse and worse. We're told that if things are going to get bad. The days are evil, we just heard. Now, as the time approaches, we need to make sure that we're with each other all the time. If we do not spend time with our children or our spouses or fellow believers, we are forsaking this assembling together. And as Scripture points out, it can become a habit. habitually neglecting those things, being in a habit of not assembling together. It is a habit of some. Is that our habit? Is that something that we need to grow in and be more mature in? You see, we have she sheds, we have man caves, we have a number of things that can take our focus away from others and put it on ourselves. Is that the way we live out our day to day? Is it habitual that we spend time alone with our stuff, doing our things? See, that's not how we achieve a good attendance score. There are times we can be alone. That's great. There's times to enjoy the things that God has blessed you with. But the times are evil. There's coming a time that is going to be where we're going to be persecuted. And we need to be prepared. There's going to come a time when the Lord said there's not going to be able to preach the word anymore. So are we getting our fill now? Are we learning now before that day he comes? So our first part of the score is based on our behavior, on those things. We looked at those first seven line items, on our behavior and our walk. And another portion of our walk and our behavior is our giftings. Line 8, God has given us gifts to use. And we learned that last week. So are we actively involved in the local church, helping it to build it up and use those gifts? And based on the homework you had last week of checking the box of your giftings, maybe you didn't do it in church, maybe you did it at home, maybe you just thought about it. But where are you with that? Do you know your giftings? If you're still struggling after looking at the things we did and not understanding your giftings, there are things out there that will help you. There are ways to understand your giftings if you're struggling. Eileen and I have taken a couple of different tests in different churches we've served in. They required us to take a test to see where our spiritual gifts were. And there's those things out there. We can get those things and we can get them out to you and you can take those tests if you're unsure of where you need to fit in with your gifts. I don't want people to force themselves into serving. That's not the goal. But if you're a Christian and you come to church, it's because God has called you into this body with your unique gift that he's given you. He's called you here. And he expects you, because he's called you here, and he's given each one a gift in some way to benefit the church. When we're all using those gifts, the church grows. And maybe it's not just serving. Maybe you're serving, but you know what? Maybe you're only serving in one area, but God has gifted you in many. Is there an area of gifting you've neglected that you need to grow in? When I was younger, I started out preaching at a nursing home. That's where I cut my teeth on preaching. And I took the gift that I had and I used it. And no, I wasn't really good at first. And I'm still learning. But the point is we use our gifts, we mature. We mature spiritually, but we also mature the gift. We get to able to use the gift. Another thing was, I found out that I had the gift of encouragement. And that means as I was ministering to others, I could put my arm around them, encourage them in the nursing homes. And that grew. And so as I was serving and using my gifts, these things just worked out. And I grew in my gifts. See, we have to develop the gifts we're given over time. And so you need to grade yourself accordingly. How well are you using your gifts? And remember that a gift glorifies God. It's not to glorify you. It glorifies God while it builds up the body. That's the purpose of it. It just doesn't make you feel good about yourself. That's not the purpose of serving. I feel really good. I've checked that mark. I'm good because I've served. That's not what it's about. It brings you joy when you serve. But it also brings joy to others. And it glorifies God. Line 9. This is worship. And even though Paul doesn't address it directly here, I think it's a major part of our maturity is our worship. And I think we need to look at worship. And what does the Bible say that worship is? It is definitely a part of maturity. A mature person loves to praise their God. A lack of praise towards God shows that you really don't understand him. Because if you did, you would do what the others that have met him in a vision or have met him, met Jesus. They bowed and they worshiped. They were compelled to do so because they met him face to face. Do you have face to face time with Jesus? Do you have face to face time with God? where you get to know Him, and you just, as you get to know Him deeper, that your just praise comes out of you. I'm not just talking about singing in church as a part of worship. This could be in your prayers. When you are thankful, when you pray, how do you pray? Are you more involved with a checklist of things I need and want? Or do you include praise in there? Now, there are times when we are driven to our knees because of a certain thing happened to us. And that is our focus. And that's fine. But in our general prayers as we pray, do we ever praise God and thank Him for what we have? And thank Him for what He does for us? Just the fact that we're saved. How thankful are we for that? It could just be as you go through your day being thankful with joy. That you're not an angry Christian. That you're not upset all the time. And people know you as a, wow, that person's just happy. They're just joyful. We should be joyful. We're saved. We have an eternal destination. We're blessed. We're going through all these things in Ephesians. And so how is that joy reflected to others as we live our life? The more mature a Christian, the more praise you'll exhibit. And so grade yourself on the joy scale for worship. Not just, oh yeah, I sing in church. And no, how joyful are you? See, how much joy you have will determine your level of maturity. So let's talk about some of the areas of worship. Well, there's worship in song. Yes. There's worship in the Word. When you read your Bible and you read about God, you're worshiping God. You're spending your time. You come before Him and you're reading His Word. You're listening to His words through reading the Bible. Worship with thanksgiving and joy in your heart. That's another way that we just talked about. Worship with your finances. And this is a one that people say, I don't want you to go there. This makes me uncomfortable. But God wants all of you. God wants everything from you. Are you holding anything back from God? God has blessed us with many spiritual blessings, but He's also blessed us with financial blessings. We live in the greatest nation that has ever existed. We have greater wealth compared to any other nation that has ever been. And when I've been into mission trips into foreign countries, I've seen people living in dirt floors, and they're happy to have a dirt floor. They're happy to have a grass hut over their head. Yet, sometimes we take for granted that we're wondering, do we want vinyl or do we want real wood? And they love their dirt floor. They love, they're thankful and joyful. So how do we look at what we have in our blessings? How are you with worshiping God with your bank account? Luke 12:34 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What comes first? What comes first? It says where your treasure is. So what it says here, treasure goes before the heart. And if you are waiting for your heart to tell you to give, it probably will never happen because the treasure goes before the heart. When you give, you see the results. Even when you can't give, even when you feel, I can't give, but I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to give Him every part of me. I'm not going to hold this part back from Him. And God will bless that. And God will cause you to worship in your heart for giving. Are you telling God that you can have any area of my life, but don't touch my money? You can say, I can't afford to tithe to God. Well, tithing is just a matter of stewardship. It is. It's just a matter of where we place our money as a priority. And some people would rather have things than to give to God. So you need to ask yourself on spiritual maturity, where do you fall with that? You know, Jesus gave everything He had for us. Everything. And if we're to mature to look like Christ, we need to have that same attitude. What did Jesus say in His own words? The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay His head. He is perfectly capable of taking the money bag and going buying a nice place to stay for the night. I mean, He used the money bag to go buy food for people. He used it for the ministry. But he didn't even have a house that was His. He has nowhere to lay His head, He said. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He showed us by praying in His anguish that He would submit to the will of the Father, that he would submit. He prayed for, if there's only any other way to accomplish my mission. But then he added, but not my will, your will be done. He was in complete submission. You see, worship is being submissive to God, even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable and it's painful. And we need to trust God in that time and realize that he will give us all that we need. Pure worship is complete submission to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In other words, which is the least you can do? It's your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When an animal is sacrificed, when the Old Testament we had a sacrifice of animals, every part of that animal was given to the Lord in some way. It was burnt and the sweet aroma went to the Lord, or was given to the priest. The whole animal was used. Nothing was held back from God. Anything less of everything we are and everything we have to give is a lack of worship. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we're looking at his thoughts, Paul's thoughts on maturity here. Paul emphasizes that the whole body working together is every joint. It's a picture of a jointed appendages of arms and legs and people working and moving properly to cause us to grow or mature as a church through our love for one another. It grows our spiritual maturity as well. We grow as a church, and as we all mature, the more mature people we have, the stronger the church is and the better it works together. And he adds the proper working of each individual part. That is you, the individual part. Let me read it another way. According to the proper working of Don, or according to the proper working of Eileen, according to the proper working of, put your name there. That's what Paul is saying. How are you doing with your spiritual maturity and working properly? When I was young, I would have pain. And my mom said, oh, those are growing pains. My body was stretching and growing. My bones were growing faster than my muscles were being stretched, and it hurt. And I was having growing pains. And we as a church right now are going through growing pains, are we not? We're building a new building. We have a new pastor. And all these things are not easy. They hurt a little bit. And you know what happens? After a while, it kind of plateaus. You know, one day I woke up and I go, oh, I don't hurt. When did I stop hurting? And that's the way we are with spiritual maturity. We reach a plateau and we go, ah, I don't hurt anymore. I feel comfortable. Then what happens? We got some more growing to do. And it hurts again. That's normal. That's the way the church grows. And that's the way we mature spiritually. We reach a plateau. We have a rest time, a little bit of time where we're comfortable. And then we realize, I need to grow some more in that area. I need to do something else. You see, we wouldn't be adults today if we didn't mature from babies. And neither will we be adult Christians or adult spiritual or have adult spiritual maturity in Christ if we don't grow, if we just want the easy things. But it's that stretching and that growing that causes maturity. So let's close out our text here at the end of verse 16. The building up of itself in love. Building up or becoming taller in stature. Building up by our becoming stronger. Just as we mature physically by building up our bodies and we treat our bodies in a way that shows kindness to it, we eat the right foods, we exercise, we protect our bodies from harm so we can grow. In the same manner, we grow as a church body. We protect the body from harm by not bringing into the body things that would harm it or hurtful things, or allowing things that are causing damage to continue to cause damage. We wouldn't do that to our physical bodies, and that's what we don't want happen in our churches, in our church. That's how we're to love one another. We protect the body from harm. Jesus says, you will know them. Them are his followers, or all of us here that are following Christ, by the love that we have for one another. Practice that love by forgiving and letting go of anger or resentment for anyone in the congregation that you may have, or typically anyone anywhere. You shouldn't be, as a Christian, having this kind of consternation towards others. And Paul tells us to be fitted and held together. That's, don't be out of joint. We even have that saying, don't we, in our society? We say that, I feel out of joint. It means I just don't feel connected. Something isn't right. When we have a shoulder out of joint or a dislocated shoulder, dislocation isn't fun. The whole body hurts. I mean, you hurt. You got a dislocated shoulder, and it causes the whole body. Same way, spiritually speaking. That if we're out of joint and we're not doing what we should, it hurts everyone involved within the church. We need to do everything we can to not be dislocated, because dislocation causes pain. So it's up to each one of us to make sure that we are fitted together, that we are a joint that's properly working. So, now that you've filled out your report card, or maybe you've just mentally done it, there are two or three blank spaces there. And I've put those there because there is absolutely no way I can cover everything we need to mature in Christ today. We'd be here for a month. And what those spaces are for you to put in what the Lord has put on your heart. I need to mature in this. This is something that I'm not doing that the Lord has shown me that I need to mature in. We need that. We need to be aware. We need to examine ourselves. That's what we're told to do. I want to talk briefly, in closing, about milk and meat. As we read in the beginning, in verse 2, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to look at verse 2 as well. So let me read this, and let's discuss it a little bit. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. So we read that. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able. When it comes to the Word of God, you need to ask yourself this. Do I like to be coddled with warm, nice feelings? Do I come to church to make myself feel good and hear things and go away feeling good about myself and just good about everything? Or do I come to worship and to learn and maybe get corrected sometimes? Or maybe it's good to have our souls filled and replenished with good things and make us feel, and we should, when we leave church, feel lifted up. But if that's the only reason you come, then maybe all you desire is milk. Maybe you need some meat. Do you have problems swallowing spiritual meat? Over the last couple of weeks, we talked about some meaty things. Some things that may be hard to digest. Some things that may have, hard to swallow. So what was your reaction when we talked about those things? Did you choke on the meat? Did you have a hard time swallowing it? And say, I don't like that kind of church. I don't want that. I want just the nice things. Well, maybe we need to grow in that area. And we're not ready for the 36-ounce porterhouse yet. That's in the kingdom. That's when we get to heaven. Maybe you can only handle a couple of ounces, and that's fine. You know, we're all at different levels in spiritual maturity. We're a family. We saw that at the beginning. We're a family. And just like a family has a mom and a dad, or those that lead, we have our leader. We have the head of the church. We have Jesus and us, and the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. And then we've got us. And we're at different levels. Maybe some of them are infants that have just come to the Lord. Maybe some of us have been around a long time and are ready to go home soon to meet our Maker and meet our Savior, and we're spiritually mature. But there may be some in here that have been in a long time And they're still in elementary school. They're still struggling to understand things. And when someone asks them things, they get stumped. Like, I don't know. They don't have the ability to give an answer according to what they've learned in the faith. You know, Jesus tells us to be childlike. We're to be childlike. What does that mean? Well, childlike means just like a child trusts his father, trusts him and holds his hand and doesn't worry that dad's going to do something bad to me or everything is going to be okay. I've got my daddy here. He'll take care of me. That's childlike. But he calls us to maturity, not childish accents, not to be childish, childlike, not childish. There's a difference. We're to be mature, and that's what we're doing as we grow. And we all started with milk. We all did at one point and grow to handle meat. And we're all in various levels. And that's the way the family works. So let us grow in the stature, in the height of our Lord until that day when we'll have all spiritual blessings and unity in Christ. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, thank you, Lord, for doing what you did for us on the cross, that you came here. You gave up the adulation of angels. You came here and became a baby and lived a perfect life that we could not live and died the death for us that was really ours. And you took that on yourself. So we thank you did that. And Lord, help us to take you seriously. Help us to take your body seriously. Help us to be mature and grow and do those things that we have been commanded by you, Lord. You're telling us to mature, that we need to mature, that it's not an option. So we thank you. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.